So I asked Mayor Robinson, because normally he likes U2, and he's a big U2 fan, but obviously today it's all Van Halen because of Eddie Van Halen's passing. And I asked him, I said, let's go ahead and bring the mayor on. So I asked the mayor, okay, what was his favorite Van Halen song, and he said Hot for Teacher, and immediately it connected with me. Your wife Jill is a teacher, is that right, Mr. Mayor?
She is. So I had to pick that one.
I love it. That's great. Congrats. You're going to get extra credit for that today. I know she'll hear about that. That's wonderful. So we continue to see the track of the storm continues to push to the west. Obviously, nobody is certain about this thing yet. But, you know, you talked yesterday a lot, and on Monday even, about people securing their debris. And I had a lot of people ask the question, what in the world, how do you do that, especially as it's supposed to be picked up? So can you maybe give some people, like, specific tips on what you're talking about?
I think there's a lot you can do. I do think I tried to explain there's a little bit of difference between yard debris and C&D debris, which is the, you know, your fences are going to be things that were, you know, it's doubtful that the small branches and leaves are going to do any damage. If they blow, it's going to create mess, but not damage. But the things like your fences, if you've got fences out there, that stuff is perfect for picking up the wind without a lot of weight and then go sailing. But the way you can secure that is by putting that flat on the ground, not stacking it so that it can catch wind. You can put your heavy stuff on top of it. Again, if you can find, a lot of people ended up chopping limbs. Those limbs, the heavier ones, that stuff's not going to move in the wind. So that's the kind of stuff you want to put on top if you can in some way. Some people have tarps or other things they can go out and try to nail down on it. Any of those things certainly are potential ways that you can keep it together and keep it from spreading and getting wind surface on it. That's probably the best way to do it. But again, it really depends. I don't think leaves and small branches are going to be the problem, and I don't think large pieces of wood are going to necessarily move with the wind. But what I do think, people who have things like fences, those can become perfect sails and do damage in the neighborhood. And I see a lot of those around. We don't have as much C&D out there because we're trying to pick up yard debris.
Right.
So we're trying to pick up as many things as we can. You know, this is only 3 weeks out, Andrew, and we didn't start till almost, you know, 5 days after the storm that we started doing cleanup. And we're going to be at 80% picked up by this weekend. So we are picking up as much as we can, as fast as we can.
And that's a
storm in 3 weeks.
And that's a test. I mean, you know, you, the county, Santa Rosa County, everybody has been really working their tails off to try to get stuff up, which is good news. And as you say, with a high wind speed storm, that's currently not scheduled to affect us too much, but again, we have to be prepared as if it might. Those wind dangers are real. The other one is the water danger, and here it's maybe not as much a concern about water lifting something up and making it dangerous to a home, although that's possible. It's more that storm drains can get clogged with trees and branches and debris that are just sitting there waiting to be pulled down into the storm drain, and then you have a danger to homes that don't normally flood, right? I mean, that is also a concern.
That's exactly it. That's exactly one of the problems that we do have with storm drains. We've been out trying to put as many of those as possible. We've pumped down all of the ponds, so we are working to get those pumped down. But again, you're exactly right. It's all about trying to get things taken care of in preparation and planning as looking at your storm drains. That's, you know, and we probably won't reach every single one of them. I looked at one today on my walk here, and I thought, man, I need to come back with a rake and just try to pull some of that stuff back so it's not getting in the storm sewer. You know, if we can do that, that's going to help us a lot. The good news is this thing's moving fast enough. It's not going to be a rain-making event. I mean, we're certainly going to have probably 6-7 inches of rain because of where we are on the east side. But, I think that's a manageable amount. It's when you get those 20 and 30-inch rain, that's where we have the real problem.
Right. Right. And obviously, you know, the less we have, the better off we'll be. But these are the things that we have to kind of think about, and not normally, because, you know, like, for example, my house is in not a flood risk at all, which I know a lot of people think that for their home. But we've had two major flood events in 14 and now that, you know, didn't affect where I currently live. But when a storm drain gets clogged up, you know, all bets are off. You just, I mean, it's hard to
figure. All bets are off. Absolutely.
So that's a difficult thing to prepare for. The other piece of advice, and I had Brad Baker earlier this morning from Santa Rosa County tell me he thought this was good. I have seen it all over Facebook. But I want to make sure and let people know and get your opinion on this as well. People might not be thinking about this, but go out and take pictures of your home now so that you have a good record of hopefully before Sally, now, and then if, God forbid, it does turn this way, after Delta. Is that good advice?
That is exactly what FEMA told us. FEMA told us, please get pictures before and after. It helps them. If you want to make a FEMA claim or do something else, it's better if you have pictures before and after. That way you can show them. And, you know, if it's on your phone, it's dated. So, you know, use your phone for that kind of stuff and have it. If you need to go in and file anything with them, it makes it easier to show what it looked like before the event and what it looked like after the event. And that really needs to be what you do. That's good advice going forward, whether we get Delta or not.
Right, right. And one thing I know we do at our house is basically every year, we do a video. We just do a video walkthrough, walk around our house. So it's possessions, contents, everything else, because, you know, you're never going to find yourself in a position where you wish you had less information, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the better part. It shows your insurance company what you have and what you need to be replaced.
Tomorrow night's meeting may set the record for shortest meeting ever. The agenda is extraordinarily light. I don't mind that at all. That's a good thing. One of the things that came up in the Monday agenda conference, though, was the two presentations on the monuments. Now, the Women's Veteran Monument, we know, is kind of in the works and coming, and we're excited about that. Just funding is going to be some of the issue. But the other monument, the Indian Leader Monument facing off against Andrew Jackson, I thought this was a very interesting idea. Much more, it reminded me of the way you and I had talked about trying to add to and contextualize at Florida Square, and this is what he's trying to do down at Plaza Ferdinand, right?
Well, this is the thing, although this is a lot cheaper. The problem with, with the Florida Square was the size and scope just made it too expensive. But the Jackson bust makes it fairly easy and inexpensive to put a juxtaposition bust of an Indian leader. Now, Osceola was suggested, and I think Sean's done a great job of bringing this forward. However, the only thing I asked him was, I would really rather have somebody from Pensacola. And I think if you look at the Creek and Indian War, we have leaders who actually, as Sean's historically pointed out, came to Pensacola to get guns and then were ambushed once they got into Alabama. So I think as long as we pick one of those Indian leaders, certainly that represents our Creek tribes here, who were historically accurately in Escambia County, I think that's a good thing. I think it's not saying take down Jackson. It's saying tell the whole story, put the juxtaposition with the Native American position. We're coming up and we're going to celebrate Indigenous People Day on Monday, and we're going to have four of the tribes that were in the Southeast area. The nations of their flags are going to fly with the American flag. So you know, we're certainly trying to represent and show historical representation of those individuals that lived in our community before European settlement.
So just to clarify, you say that the four flags of the Native Americans are going to fly at equal height with the American flag, or what's the plan with that? Because
the American flag is certainly in the middle, but rather than fly the other flags we do for the other European nations, we're going to fly the Cherokee, the Choctaw, the Creek, and the Seminole flags with the American flag.
And that's going to be at City Hall?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. So that'll be for Monday for Indigenous Peoples Day. Hey, last question for you, and I don't know the truth of this at all. Somebody had asked me, and I told them that I would ask you. I had somebody tell me that he had heard that the ST Aerospace project was way over budget for buildings 2 and 3 to the tune of as much as maybe $11 million. I don't know the truth of this at all. I'm asking you, can you clarify? Is there any element to that?
There are some things that are being asked in there that are happening, that are being asked of the building. We can make the buildings work in a way that would bring costs back into it, but obviously that's what we're having to discuss with our partner from our position, we don't have any more money to give. So again, we are working through that at this particular time, but we have no more money to give at this particular time, and we'll handle it appropriately as we move forward.
All right, well, and I know we cannot go ask Triumph for anymore. That was made very, very clear to us. So, all right, well, we hope
we've made it very clear. We only have the $210 million that we have.
Right.
That's all we have.
All right, well, obviously we hope that we can resolve those negotiation issues. Mayor Grover Robinson, City of Pensacola, we look forward to hearing from you later on today and, of course, talking to you Monday at the press conference. Thank you so much for the time this morning. We appreciate it.
Andrew, take care. Thank you very much.